Hi, Pius the 10th. How's it going?
Oh my goodness, thank you for that awesome introduction. My name is Sister Cora. Cora means heart. It's for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He is totally with us right now. I am a sister of life. That is true. I live in the Bronx, and you know, sometimes we go to speak at schools there, and it can be a pretty tough crowd in the Bronx. So I'm looking forward to giving the Midwest a try. And I'm hoping to win your favor by saying three words. Father Schwenke doesn't think you can do it. Are you ready? Go Big Red!
Go Big Red!
Thank you. I feel very welcome here. Very bright. How'd they do, Father? Father Schwenke, how'd they do? Ah, all right. They can do better. They can do better. All right. When I say God is good, you say all the time, God is good. And all the time. Amen. We are so grateful to be here for Pro-Life Day. I'm welcomed by two. We're so excited to have two other sisters of life with us, Sister Lumen and Sister Eucharistie. All about the Eucharist, all about light. And we're glad we're here for Pro-Life Day. What does that even mean, Pro-Life Day? For life, right? Life is messy. Life is fun. It's tough. It's rough, right? It's amazing. Life is an adventure. It means getting back up when you miss that touchdown or hitting the books if you fail that test. It means saying, I'm sorry. It means saying, I love you. Life is a miracle. If you are anything like me, when I was trying to get to class in the morning as a high schooler, we would definitely say that life is a miracle. I would literally run out of my house to try and catch the bus with my shoes half on. I would have an Eggo waffle in my hand, and my mom would toss my forgotten flu case across the yard. It would be a perfect pass every time. Does any of that sound familiar? Is that how you got to class today? You were late, maybe? Are Eggo waffles still a thing? Yes, they are. Who had an Eggo waffle this morning? Anyone? Yeah, amen. All right, awesome. Awesome. All right, life is good. Life is a miracle. Can I get an amen? All right. As sisters of life, we totally believe that. We believe that so much that we lay down our lives so that others may live. We follow in the path of Christ to live simply and totally for the other. That's who we are. That's my being. And we want to share with the entire world. We flew all the way in from New York, from Denver, to share this message with you on the dignity and identity of human life and how important that is. Each life is sacred, so we do this in many ways. The first thing we do is we pray. We go to the Lord, who is the source of everything. We also help women who are pregnant and in need. They might be in crisis, and we walk with them. We help women who are suffering after abortion find the mercy in Jesus Christ, and we travel all over sharing this message. And you know what? My good friend Emma, right, Emma? She was sharing some fun facts about me, but we want to get to know you even more, and we want you to get to know the sisters even more. So I'm going to play a little game called Two Truths and a Lie. Have you all played that before? Maybe. Sisters, we're not into lying, so I'm going to say two truths and a false. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say three things, three statements, and what you're going to do is you're going to figure out which one is false about me, okay? And I want to hear how loud you can get. I want to hear how loud Pius X can get this morning. All right, so I'm going to say three things. Remember the number that goes with each fact, okay? Number one, I climbed a mountain in Montana as a sister. Number two, I was born in Nebraska. And number three, my favorite ice cream flavor is cookies and cream. So when I say ready, set, go, you're going to yell out which one is false about me. Ready, set, go. Wow, that was amazing. Not loud enough, though. Okay, raise your hand if you said number two. Awesome. Okay, put your hands down. I was not born in Nebraska. Way to go. But guess who was? Let's welcome up Sister Lumen. We're going to do the same thing with Sister Lumen.
Hey, Pius the 10th. I am from Blair, but I love Lincoln. Let's be honest. Go Big Red all the time. So my two truths and false are that I have run a marathon successfully. I have gone on a 20,000-mile road trip, and that I was required as a child to eat ice cream after every meal. Doctor's orders. Okay, doing the same thing. You ready? One, two, three. Louder, guys. I can hear you. Okay, we're good. Who said one? I have not run a marathon ever in my life. But, okay, we're going to invite up Sister Eucharistia now.
Okay, I am Sister Eucharistia, and number one, I was Marie in the Nutcracker Ballet as a little girl. Number two, I coached basketball. And number three, I went jeeping in Maine as a sister. Okay, who says one? Who says two? Who says three? It was number two. But Sister Cora was a basketball coach.
All right. Thanks for playing, everyone. You're making us feel very welcome. I'm loving the Midwest. All right. God is good. And all the time. Okay, the heart of being pro-life isn't about labels. It's not about politics. It's not even about cute babies. But we have a cute baby in the room, which I'm excited. Is the baby here? No, the baby's in the hallway. Okay. It's all good. Being pro-life isn't as much about being against something as it is for being for the fullness of God's plan for life and love. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." So ultimately, being pro-life means living in and for abundance. So it's seeing, it's being, and it's living in a completely new way. So I want to pose some things to you this morning about places where we can live from, that we can have this fullness of life that we were made for and that actually touches on the deepest desires of our hearts. So number one, you are chosen. Number two, you are redeemed. And number three, you are sent. So I'm going to talk about those three things this morning. So chosen. A few years ago, I went to a really big event for high schoolers down in Washington, D.C. So there were like thousands of people at this huge arena. And the Sisters of Life were helping out the event coordinators by doing different things. So we were greeters, we were passing out programs, we were helping people find their seats. And I went to go find my assignment for the evening. I went to the wall, I looked, Sister Cora, take your photo with the Pope. That was my assignment. And I was like, that's incredible. Is the Pope here? I can't believe this. So I went, level 4, section C. I turned the corner, and there he was, 6-foot cardboard cutout, Pope. My job for the evening was try to get as many people to take photos with the Pope as possible, this cardboard cutout. You all know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes athletes, the cardboard cutouts, your favorite athlete, maybe your favorite actor, something like that. So we were trying to get so many people to take photos with this Pope, with this cardboard cutout. I'm talking 4 hours yelling, come take your photo. Life, and we were holding up signs, life is very good. At the last second, the end of the night, I saw this girl walking with her friends, and I was like, my last plea. I was like, hey, you, come take your photo with the Pope. She looked at me, and she said, no. And I said, what? You just told a nun from the Bronx? Ouch, no? So I offered again. I said, come on, it's going to be so much fun. Let's take our picture together. She looked at me. She said, no, I don't want to take a picture with a piece of cardboard. She looked at me and continued. She said, you, who are you? I want to take my photo with you. Who are you? Who am I? Who are you? That encounter makes us think about the deepest questions on the human heart. Who are you and what am I made for? Who are you? If I were to ask you, who are you? You would probably say your name. You would say, I'm from Nebraska. You would say, I go to Pius X. You probably wouldn't lead with, hi, I'm a constant thought of God. I'm loved. I'm chosen, right? Would you do that? Probably not, right? The life of God is written in the depths of our being. You are chosen. You are lovable. You are unique. You are strong. You are capable. You are worthy and you are irreplaceable. But how many times do we forget that in this world, right? In the culture, how many times do we feel like putting a cardboard cutout of ourselves at different places of our life because we don't want to show up? Maybe at the dinner table, maybe at one of your classes, you don't want to be there. Maybe at your job as a cashier, maybe on the basketball court because you're not feeling it. It's what we do that and what we want to do that is because we want to avoid the awkwardness or we want to avoid the pain or we want to avoid the suffering, the hardships. So how often do we settle for the two-dimensional counterfeit that the world is offering when the desires of our heart are for more? One of our friends back on the East Coast is a priest. And before he was ordained a priest, he was in the United States Marines. And he was telling us about his best friend, Greg, who was also in the Marines. And Greg was fighting for our country, and he lost his life in the line of duty. So Greg was shot protecting his commanding officer. And when his commanding officer saw this, he ran over to Greg and held Greg in his arms because he could see that Greg was struggling. So he went to him during his death, and he asked Greg, "What can I do for you?" And Greg's final words in his hour of death were, "Tell me that I'm loved. Tell me that I'm loved." This is a United States Marine, the toughest, the strongest. "Tell me that I'm loved." That reveals the deepest longing of every heart. Tell me that I'm loved. And only love can speak the truth of who you are. Not a passing or shallow love, but the unconditional love of God. And society tries to tell us to be confident and to believe in ourselves, but oftentimes we can put up masks. We can pretend to be a cardboard cutout so we don't have to show up. But my worth cannot be confirmed by the eyes that look back at me at the mirror. We actually need our worth to be acknowledged by another, capital A, another, by God. Right? This might be a jump for some of you. I'd have no clue where any of you are at right now. God might seem distant or abstract, and it can feel like he doesn't have anything to do with your heart or what's on your heart for love. But God is so creative in his pursuit for you. The creation story did not happen thousands of years ago and stopped, but the creation story is happening right at this very second. Ongoing. He's recreating you always. He's always in pursuit of your heart. He always wants to be close to you. He's always thinking of you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. The creation story is ongoing. The God who created everything from the depths of the ocean to the stars in the sky is thinking of you right now and is loving you into existence right now. One of our sisters is an aerospace engineer. So she knows a lot about the stars and a lot about the universe and how to get a rocket up there. She's pretty awesome. And she says that the universe is 23 billion light years in diameter, and that's just what we can see. That's amazing. The same God that created and made the infinite galaxies is thinking of you right now and chooses you into existence because you are good. And if that's true, what does that mean? If that's true, what does that mean? It means that you're never alone, ever, right? The Lord said, I am with you always. Always, the definition is at all times, on all occasions. You are chosen, and never before, and never again will there be another you. So we long to be seen, known, chosen, acknowledged, and whether we realize it or not, these three questions are always on our hearts. Am I good? Am I lovable? And am I worthy? Am I good? Am I lovable? And am I worthy? So where do I go to seek answers to that question of my goodness? It's important. We need to think about and stop and recognize, where do I place my worth? What are my distractions? What are my escapes? What are my quick fixes? So let's do a quick pulse check. We're going to ask ourselves these questions right now. Am I constantly putting my value and worth in social media? Does my goodness rest in how many likes or dislikes I have on a photo? Am I constantly putting my value and worth in others, in what I can do, achieve, or produce? Do I compare myself to others and then fall into despair if I don't feel like I measure up? I'll never score as many points as him. I'll never be as pretty as her. Am I too much or am I not enough? Am I afraid to stand up for the truth because I care what will be said about me? All of these questions are things we do on the surface level that actually reveal what's going on deeper in the depths of our being. So it's good to take time and think about those. It would be as if we climbed a mountain and didn't look at the view, right? That sounds crazy. That's why I climb mountains, so I can look at the view, right? Let's be reflective hearts and not consumers. One day, one of our sisters, a couple of our sisters actually, were in a park in New York City, and when the sisters got there, they saw families playing, you know, at different parts of the park, and all these little kids ran up to them because we look like princesses or brides or something really foreign. People don't know what we are because of the habit. So these little kids were coming up to the sisters, and they were all started playing, and it was, like, super fun. The sisters had fun. And it was time for the sisters to head back. So they said, thanks for playing. We have to go now. And the kids were not happy, right? Because we were like Disney princesses, and they didn't want the sisters to leave. One of the little girls, who must have been like 4 years old, threw out her hands and proclaimed, hey, love me. Let's give all of that, hey, love me, to God the Father as his beloved children. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. We want to say all of that, love me, and just be loved by God the Father. The freedom and joy in living as a son or a daughter of God. And you know, there's someone out there that hates that. He hates that you live as a child of God. I don't know if you can think of that, who hates that. Someone out there hates that you live in the freedom of this message that not everyone is lucky to hear. The evil one, Satan, his name is the father of lies, and he likes to get in there through the words and images we take in that lead us into confusion. So the evil one distorts even life itself, making it an unbearable burden instead of something worth celebrating, sacrificing for, and caring for. So we trap someone in like a paralyzing fear. where they can't move forward to say yes to life. And we see this all the time in our mission as Sisters of Life. So as Sisters of Life, we are privileged to walk with women who are going through a crisis pregnancy, who are often alone and scared. We find that women who are pregnant choose abortion out of fear. And we see this in our missions, that when a woman comes to us fearful, discouraged, and lost, she's not able to make good decisions or the right decision because she is so paralyzed. A woman may come to us feeling like garbage because she was treated like garbage, and now she believes she is garbage. And that is not true. That is not true. That is a lie. Your identity is found in the only one who created you. So if a woman comes to us, as she comes to me torn up inside because of her fear or loneliness, how do I respond? I respond as a sister. I respond as a friend. I walk with her. I listen to her. I accompany her. She is not alone. I reflect her goodness deep within, which is an inherent value that each of us has just by being alive, because the Father thinks of you. And right now, I'm thinking of a young woman who I'll call Kylie, and she wanted me to share her story with you. So I'll call her Kylie. Kylie ended up on our doorsteps in distress, total fear. She was a pro athlete from Africa, and she came over to New York City because she wanted to make it as a runner. That was her sport, and she loved to run. That's when she felt most free. Then everything changed. Her plans turned upside down. She got pregnant. She was confused and overwhelmed. She rescheduled her abortion appointment 3 times. The last time she was on her way to end her pregnancy, the taxi driver just happened to drop her off at a church instead. Oops, I don't know what happened there. Confused, Kylie knocked on the doors, and she was hoping against hope for another way. And that's when one of our friends ran into her and invited her to meet with us, the sisters, in New York City. So we welcomed her in, we listened to her, after which Kylie said, "That was the first time someone didn't tell me what to do, but just listened to me and let me be." Being restored in her own goodness, she discovered that she was more capable than she realized. So with a group of support around her, she was soon running again, literally. And we have treadmills downstairs in this particular convent. So the sisters would kind of cheer Kylie on as she was running. The sisters would even try and run next to her. But they quickly realized that her warm-up was their sprint. So they stopped that pretty quick because she's a pro athlete. And they were just cheering her on from the sidelines. So when Kylie had her little girl, it wasn't long after that that she got back into running, and she ran the New York City Marathon, where she clocked her best time. And we asked Kylie, "What happened? That was amazing." And she said, "I used to run just for myself, but now I run for someone else." That is incredible. Amazing new life came from Kylie. New life, her new baby, gave her new hope. And she ran through all of those lies, and she's now living from the truth. And Kylie is doing incredible right now, just because she was opened to some sisters telling her that she was good. All right, so you are chosen. Number two. You are redeemed. I don't know if you've ever thought about redemption. I love thinking about redeemed. And actually, what makes me think of it is I'm sure there are some Marvel fans out there. DC, maybe, characters. Maybe Star Wars, I don't know. If I gave you 5 seconds to yell out your favorite Marvel, DC, or Star Wars character, could you do that? I'm going to give you 5 seconds. I want to see how loud you can get, Pius X. All right, ready, set, go. Louder. Okay, God is good. God is good. All the time. All right, Captain America, Iron Man, I heard Spider-Man, Avengers. Right, we all love a movie capturing the battle between good versus evil. Even the sisters, sometimes we watch movies, right? The Avengers. It touches our hearts because the battle versus good and evil is all too real. It's all too real. So Kylie, the young woman I was just sharing about, she found herself in the middle of that battle versus good and evil. The first work of redemption is recognizing that we need a savior. We need someone to save us. Jesus's name is truth. It's mercy. It's everlasting freedom. It's savior. It's healer. It's friend. He's closer than you think. He says you are good simply because the Father loves you. His voice offers freedom. His life and love is yours. So we played a game earlier called Two Truths and a False, Two Truths and a Lie. The truth is stronger than fear and lies. For every lie that you might be experiencing right now or hearing or people telling you, God doubles down and he's drawing near to you and tells more truths than you could ever know. But are you listening to the truth that he's speaking? When the evil one thinks he has us, God says, you are mine. So here we go, two truths and a lie. I'm going to name a lie, and then I'm going to say two truths to announce the goodness. We're going to renounce the lie, and we're going to announce the truth of Jesus. Number one, the lie. You are alone in your problems, worries, and anxieties. The truth. Fear not, for I am with you always, Isaiah 43:5. The truth, behold, I am with you always until the end of time, Matthew 28:30. Lie number two, you are replaceable. The truth, I will never forget you, Isaiah 49:50. The truth, you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. That's from Isaiah 43:4. Lie number three, you will never measure up. The truth, I know well the plans I have in mind for you, to give you a future of hope, Jeremiah 29:11. And the truth, I have called you by name, and you are mine, Isaiah 43:1. Lie number four, you are not good. The truth, the Lord delights in you, Isaiah 62. The truth, Father, they are your gift to me. And Jesus says that to you in John 17:24. Lie number five, your voice doesn't matter. The truth is, when you call me and come to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. From Jeremiah 29:12, and the truth, as the Father loves me, so I also love you, remain in my love. That's from John 15:9. The Father is speaking truth all around you, and he hates that people are telling you lies, that the world is telling you something different. So anytime you're feeling that, you just renounce it and you announce the truth, and I think we can help each other. Right? You were calling out when the sisters, when we were calling out our two truths and a false, you were yelling out what you thought was false. Right? Are we doing that for each other? Are you calling out the lie and helping other people recognize the truth in their life? I don't know where any of you are at right now. I don't know. I don't know if you're like really into this talk, you think it's inspiring. I don't know if you're feeling frustrated or angry. I don't know if you're indifferent to the pro-life message. I have no clue. I don't know. But wherever you find yourself right now, and this is for students, this is for staff, this is for everyone here, wherever you're finding yourself right now, the Lord wants to meet you in that place. There is no sin too great. There is no darkness too dark that Jesus can't come in and redeem from within. New life is possible. And mercy, when we talk about mercy, it's not just for when we do something really bad and we have to go to confession and receive mercy, but mercy is actually something that happens all the time because it's what sustains us into being. The women we walk with in our Hope and Healing mission are heroic witnesses of what it looks like as they allow God's mercy and truth to touch the deepest parts of their heart, the most vulnerable places of their hearts. And all too women, these women are suffering all alone and all by themselves. But Jesus never wants us to be alone ever. One of the women that we work with in this particular mission, I'll call her Natasha. After her abortions, she tried doing many things to heal. She tried the 12-step program, she tried acupuncture, she tried affirmations, so every morning she would look at herself in the mirror and she would say 15 affirmations. But none of this made her feel better about herself. She would read many self-help books, but that didn't help her either. Right? She had some knowledge of the faith growing up, but she didn't know a lot about church. But what she did know is that she felt something pull her to sit in the Catholic church in her neighborhood. So every once in a while, she would go sit in the church. She didn't know what to do. She would just sit there. And one morning, she saw sticking out of one of the books in the pew, she saw a brochure. And on the brochure, it said, Ocean of Mercy. So she picked up this brochure because she wanted the words Ocean of Mercy on her vision board. She wanted this to inspire her. But her life was so dark that by God's mercy, she somehow called the number on the brochure instead, and it was our number. She called the sisters. Her heart was so broken when she called us that she tried to fix it. She tried to fix her life herself, but she couldn't. And it was too much for her to bear. She knew her abortions were wrong, and she couldn't reconcile them. So her broken heart was calling out to Jesus. The darkness, the shame, the self-reliance, all of that began to melt, and she started to go to church again. And about a year later, she went to confession and confessed her abortions. She felt relief and peace. And this is a quote from Natasha. She said, "Only God can heal my wounds. And I have to persevere on this journey to receive the healing that I need." So it's through the power of the cross of Jesus, who works redemption from within, that can give us freedom and healing out, right? And then we can love. And then we can show other people mercy. So when we live and from this truth, we can be strengthened and live in a totally new way. And our love, it can be heroic even in our daily lives. So you are chosen, you are redeemed, and you are sent. So right now, I'm going to close, and I'm going to start talking about heroic love. So I love this quote. Are you ready to hear it? Christ gives a person two basic certainties: the certainty of being infinitely loved and the certainty of being capable of loving without limits. You are loved and you are strong enough to love right now. As a student at Pius X, as one of the staff members here, as a sister, as a priest, right? We are infinitely loved and we are capable of loving without limits. So we know this only comes from Jesus because I can't actually love in the heroic way at all. I need him to love through me. Jesus, help me love this person that I have to work with right now because I can't. Jesus, give me the strength to go sit with that person who's alone at lunch right now because I can't. I'm afraid of being judged. Jesus, help me love this other team even though I hate that they're beating me right now. That's heroic love. Help me live in this heroic way. So John Paul II, he says, it is necessary that heroic becomes daily and that the daily becomes heroic. Right? So what does that look like for you? I love the everyday hero. I love it. I love hearing hometown hero stories. I love it. I love the teacher that like goes the extra mile. There's awesome priests right here. Right? They're not just at Mass on Sunday. They're doing a lot of stuff. They're in the confessional. They're anointing people in the hospital in the middle of the night, and they have to wake up, and then they come teach here at Pius X. That's heroic. We have beautiful sisters, heroic love, living with the love of Jesus. High schoolers, right? There's ways you can live in heroic love, thanking your teachers. What does it mean to love your enemies? I can't do that. I can't unless Jesus is doing that through me. What about affirming someone who might not even know? Like, great job on that presentation. I learned something new. Like, that's heroic. I do want to challenge you. I think you can do it. You're probably already doing it. I can't wait to hear the stories throughout the day. The sisters were going to be here to get to know you and say hi to you. I'm going to bring this talk home, so we're coming to a close right now. And I want to share one of our biggest heroes, the story of, I think, our biggest hero, and he's only in eighth grade. So one of our sisters spoke at an assembly of eighth graders in the Bronx. They spoke on the gift of human life, coaching them on how to support women if they're finding themselves in a crisis pregnancy and they're scared, right? These women are scared. So the sister told this group of eighth graders, the best thing you can say to a woman who is pregnant is, I believe in you. You can do this. You are not alone. So 2 days later, Jason, one of the eighth graders, and his mom were eating breakfast at their house. His mom broke down crying and said to Jason, I'm pregnant, and I don't know what I'm going to do yet. He ran immediately to his room and grabbed the brochure the sisters gave him. He handed it to her, and he said confidently, Mom, you are the strongest woman I know, and you can do this. I am here with you. His words broke through the darkness and depression that she was experiencing all of this pain. And this was giving her courage to say yes to life and to call the sisters. So we walked with her during her pregnancy and beyond. But what Jason didn't know is that when his mom had become pregnant with him as a teenager, despite little support, she was tempted to abortion. And through all of that, she chose to say yes to life. And Jason, who wasn't going to be, was now alive to encourage his mother to say yes to life. This was a year ago, so new life abounds in their family. I love it. Her son was a spark of hope in the midst of his mom's fear, darkness, and lies. He immediately ran to his room to get the brochure. He knew that life was on the line, and not just anyone, but his little sibling. Like, that's incredible. So I want to emphasize this practical advice in the midst of this heroic story, these everyday heroes. So giving a woman courage to say yes, it is so helpful to say, you are strong, and I am with you, and you can do this. What's not helpful, what we found, is saying, I'm behind you in whatever you choose. Because oftentimes, it makes her feel more alone, and the pressure is put more on her. So we always want to give her the space, right, to grow in this maternal love. You are strong, and I am with you, and you can do this. You are loved and strong enough to love. Mother Teresa would say, words which do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness. That means there is no such thing as neutral words. Words that say, I don't want to get involved. I think sometimes that's how we can be. I don't want to get involved. I don't know what people are going to say about me. I don't know how to handle that. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Those words that do not support truth increase darkness. So apathy increases the darkness. So do not settle for lukewarm lives. Like, we were made for more. All of us are longing to be a part of something that's greater than ourselves. That's just who we are. We long for that greatness. So that's what we want to share, right? We want to be sparks of life, speaking truth and speaking peace into this world. We are so excited to be here with all of you, the sisters, and we're so grateful for the invitation, for Katie, for Tori, for inviting us, for all of this, just to be here with you and to share this with you. And we encourage you along. I know Pro-Life Day, the rest of Pro-Life Day, I think the Pro-Life group is going to pray, maybe outside of Planned Parenthood. They're going to the Women's Care Center. And all of that matters. So the sisters, our greatest work is prayer. That's our role in the pro-life world, is prayer. So we pray. So the sisters, we're going to be praying for you today. And prayer matters. One time there was a group of students praying outside a Planned Parenthood, and there was a man who was driving his car past them, and he rolled down his window to speak to the people praying outside of this abortion clinic. And the people were getting a little bit nervous. They didn't know what they were going to say, if they were going to get some pushback or what. And this man rolled down the window, and he said, "Thank you for praying outside this clinic. Because 20 years ago, I was here with my girlfriend. We were going to get the abortion, but we decided not to because people were praying outside this clinic." And he's like, "I just got off the phone with my daughter to tell her happy birthday." So your prayers matter. Your voice matters. How you live your life, how you see others, how you see yourself matters. Being pro-life is not being about against something. It's about living, it's about seeing, and it's about being in a new way. Living a heroic love, asking Jesus to come and be with us, to come live his life through you. This is awesome. This has been so great to speak with you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm going to close us out in prayer right now. We're just going to take a few minutes. We're just going to pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we praise you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of this day. We thank you for our being, for our own life. We thank you for this opportunity to be here at this Catholic school to talk about the truth, this message of truth that not everyone gets to hear. We're asking for an abundance of graces to strengthen us in our day so that our daily, everyday life can become heroic. We ask that you come be with us. We ask that you change the way we see ourselves and others with your eyes, that we may know our value and our worth only from God the Father, and that we may live there. We ask that if we feel any lies or any insecurities or anything that's leaving us feel like there's a darkness around us, we're asking that, Jesus, you send an abundance of truth and love and mercy just to pour into our hearts. Give us the courage and the zeal we need to be your chosen disciples. We thank you. We pray all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pius X, you guys are amazing. Oh my gosh, so weak. Are you kidding me? Thank you.